Some of you know that on this Sunday we turn things around a little bit. The sermon is shorter than it usually is, and the children's time is longer than it usually is, and the sermon comes before the children's time. So this happens to be the sermon, and you can time it. I think it's going to be shorter than it usually is today. I want to share with you a story that took place in my life and in my marriage within the first year of my marriage, when my marriage to my wife, and we've now been married almost 40 years, almost fell apart. We'd just been married, I think it was 1 year, maybe two, I'm not quite sure of the exact timing, but it was my birthday, and it was a wonderful day. We were at seminary just north of Boston. We went out to a little seafood restaurant in a small town called Manchester up the coast. We'd had a marvelous meal together, and we were driving back to our apartment. And on the way back to the apartment, my wife, Curry, suddenly said to me, "I think we should go to a movie." Now, we had not discussed a movie up till this point. She said, "I think we should go to a movie." I said, "I don't think we should go to a movie. I'm tired. I've had a good meal. I just want to go home." She said, "I think we should go to a movie." I said, "I really don't want to go to a movie." She said, "There's a really good movie on in the town of Ipswich." "I don't care whether there's a good movie on in the town of Ipswich. I really don't want to go to a movie." That year I was checking. I can't remember what the movie was, but that year I think All the President's Men and Network came out. Some of you may remember those movies. So she insisted that we go to this movie, and I insisted that we go home. Finally, I just burst. I said, "It's my birthday, and I want to do what I want to do on my birthday." To which she responded, "How selfish can you get?" And at that moment, she said, all right, let me tell you what's going on. This is in the days before cell phones. Four of our friends were going to meet us at the movie, and her job was to get me there. And I was not playing along with this at all. So she told me that they were there, and they had planned a little party afterwards. And I said, all right, we will do it. We will go to the movie." And we did. And we had a wonderful time. It was a wonderful evening, not only the meal before, but the movie, and then being with the friends afterwards. But to begin with, all I could think of was that this was a terrible interruption to the plan I had for the birthday that I had in mind, the celebration that I had in mind. As I think about that, there are many times in life in which we have a plan, we know what we want to do, and something comes along that interrupts us. Sometimes we willingly take the detour, but often we don't willingly take the detour. We have to be cajoled, we have to be persuaded to go in a direction that we did not want to go in at first. Some of those detours are big. I mean, they're huge. So I set off to be a math teacher. That's what I wanted to do with my life. For years, that's what I wanted to do with my life. And then God brought a man into my life, a pastor into my life, who had a particular gift of challenging young people to think about the ministry. And he came out of nowhere, out of the blue. This person turns up in my life, and he says, "I think God wants you to enter the ministry." And I say, "I don't think so. Got the wrong person. This is not the right way to do things. I don't like to speak in public, and I can't read books," and gave all my excuses. But he persisted. And as you can see, there was a slight detour in the plan for my life. Some of these are huge, and some of you may know of those huge detours in your life, but often the detours are much smaller than that, these interruptions to our life. They have to do with relationships for the most part, with other things, but with relationships. One more conversation, David, you need to talk to that person again. "I don't want to talk to that person again." The conversation is over. Make the phone call. Send that letter, that card, or go see them in person. "I'd rather just write the card. They need to see you face to face. That's the only thing that matters at this time. But I don't have time for that." But every time that I've made time for that interruption to my life, as I look back, I don't think there's once that I regret it. It came at first as an interruption that I did not want at all. But God had something better in mind for me. We often look at interruptions as if they are disruptions in our lives. Not sources of blessing, but disruptions. Some of you are familiar with Stephen Covey's story about a man walking through the woods. This is in the days before power tools. Walking through the woods and comes across a lumberjack who is trying to cut a tree down, sawing a tree. And it doesn't seem to have made much difference in the tree, no matter how much he pulls and pushes on that saw on that tree. And the man walking through the woods says to him, "How long have you been doing this?" And he says, "I've been doing this for 4 hours." The man walking through the woods can hardly believe it. He says, "I presume that saw of yours is very blunt. You need to sharpen it." "Oh, that doesn't matter. I'm too busy to sharpen it," he says. "I'm sawing as hard as I possibly can." And sometimes that's what we are doing. We make a god out of being busy. But the question is, are we busy doing the right things? Are we sawing in the right way? Are we climbing the right ladder? We're busy climbing the ladder, but what if the ladder is against the wrong wall and God says, excuse me, sorry for the interruption, but this is the wrong ladder. You've got to jump across to this ladder. And we tend to say, don't want to do that. There's a big drop between here and there. I don't want to take the risk. But that ladder is going nowhere. That wall is in the wrong place. You need to be on this ladder. Sometimes we listen, sometimes we don't. The Christmas story is filled with interruptions like this. Indeed, just about every character in the Christmas story finds that their life is interrupted by the birth of this baby. So God comes up to Mary and through the angel says, "Excuse me, sorry for the interruption, you're going to have a baby." "I don't want a baby, I'm not married yet, this is not what I had in mind." "Oh, but you are going to have a baby. This is what is going to happen, and I want you to be the mother of this child. This child will be my son, my child, and you have been chosen to bear this child." And Mary's mind has to work and think about all of this. And then she responds in the most wonderful way, "Behold, the handmaid, the servant of the Lord." She says yes to this interruption. The same kind of thing goes on with Joseph in our scripture reading there. One of the reasons I love that particular story in the Christmas story about Joseph is that it's so human. He finds out about Mary's pregnancy and says, "I can't marry her, but I don't want to embarrass her." So he says he's going to dismiss her quietly. Well, of course, all of that is impossible in a small town. You just can't dismiss anybody quietly, but he plans to do that. But it's going to be known. It's going to be embarrassing. It's going to be awful, but the angel comes in the name of God and says, "Excuse me, sorry for the interruption. I want you to be the father of this child, but I'm not the father of this child, but you're going to raise this child, and I have chosen you for this task. You are the one to do this. This is awkward. I did not plan this for my life, but this is my plan for your life. Will you go along with it? It's better than anything else you could have imagined or you could have planned." And Joseph goes along with it. Same thing, of course, is true with the wise men. They're busy looking at the stars. They're busy looking at their books. They are educated, intelligent people. They are students. They are scholars. And they don't want to go on a trip. Is it a cruise? No, it's not a cruise. It's a camel cruise across the wilderness, across the desert on the way to Jerusalem. Okay. We will do this. We will go out of the way. It's a different plan from the one that we imagined. And then there are the shepherds. And I think perhaps they were the most willing ones, watching their sheep at night. A baby's been born in Bethlehem. This is going to be the one to bring peace to the world. You want to go and see us? Yes, us. Well, we've got other things to do. I'll leave the sheep behind. Let's go. And we'll go on our way. And they're the first ones to see this child. All kinds of interruptions. God coming to them saying, "Excuse me, sorry. Sorry for the interruption," and something better, something more amazing, something they could never have conceived of, happens in their lives at that time because they allowed wiggle room for God to interrupt what they at first had in mind. When was the last time you felt God interrupting you? The last time you felt God interrupting you. You're heading down this way. It's not a bad path. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just not the best path. Well, you can't see that just now. Only God can see that. And you feel God pushing you, nudging you to the side, or in fact, keeping you straight on the path when you want to take a detour. And God says, "No, straight ahead at this time." When was the last time you sensed God doing that? Because the God we believe in at Christmas does that. That's the God we believe in. A God who does that. So picture yourself. Picture yourself in the car with God. So it's like me and my wife on my birthday. We're in the car together. You're in the car with God, and you say as you drive along, "This is where I want to go." And God says, "No, I want you to go over here." We say to God, I don't want to go there. That's not where I want to go. This is the best path for my life. God says, no, it's not. And it goes back and forth, this little argument that we had. And finally, God bursts out and says, I do know better. I am wiser. And besides that, it's my birthday. Let's pray. Holy God, come into our lives. Interrupt us, cause us to stop, if only for a moment, to think and rethink, and give us a sense that as you came to these ordinary people so long ago, you are passionate about coming to us today. So come and interrupt our lives in wonderful and marvelous ways. Even through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen.